This past Monday evening, at kind of the end of the work afternoon and a break before I had a meeting on Monday evening, I decided to go out for a run. So I was going to take off around here. I got a little path out here, that route that I take sometimes when I run from here. And I was looking forward to this run, mostly because I felt like I needed it to clear my head and just sort of get out and get a little exercise. You know, some days when you go out to run or do anything, well, almost anything, there are days when it all just clicks and your body feels like it's really ready to go and you're kind of cruising along. And I have plenty of days when that's the way I feel when I'm out running, and it's enjoyable and it's a great day. And then there are days where you think, 5 steps into the run, you're thinking, why am I doing this to myself? Why am I subjecting myself to this brutality? And this run last Monday evening was definitely in that category. Every step of the way, it just, I couldn't feel like I could warm up. Everything was aching and hurting, and all the way through, I have about a 3.5 mile loop that I go out through here, and every step of the way was laborious and killing me, and I kept saying over and over in my mind, why are you doing this? Well, I carry with me when I run a little Walkman that's got both a radio on and also a CD player. And because it was late in the afternoon and it is baseball season, I was tuned into sports talk radio to listen with a little bit, kind of catch up on things. But that wasn't doing it for me. It wasn't motivating. It wasn't helping me forget about my pain. So I thought, I need to click some music on here in a hurry and see if I can get a burst of inspiration. I had a Dave Crowder Band CD in my player, so I hit the play button for the CD, and it picked up right where I left off the last time that I had been listening to the CD. And here I am laboring on this run, feeling like I'm about to die, and I hit the play button on the CD, and the first lines that come out is Dave Crowder's sort of plaintive voice saying, deliver me. Deliver me out of the sadness. Deliver me from all the madness. And I thought, boy, there's a prayer I need real bad right now. And it just reminded me how so many times in life we get in these places and we figure out, how can we just go on? There are those days where you feel like, how can I just pick up the foot and put it one more time in front? Whatever's going on in our lives seems to be laborious and difficult and challenging. And we just don't feel like going forward. And yet somehow we do. We have to just keep going forward. And we find in our own walk with the Lord that that's definitely true as well. There are days you think, I don't want to give up. I don't want to keep going. And the idea of sort of sustaining our walk with the Lord over the long haul sometimes just seems too great a thing to do. So how do we go forward? How do we figure out how to make progress in where we're going? So this morning, as we bring this message, this series of messages from the life of Peter to a close, we want to look at that question. As Peter, in some of the last words that he spoke to us, or the recorded last words he spoke to us, gives us, I think, a word of encouragement about keeping on, about going forward, about how we can engage in the process that God invites us to be a part of so that we might keep going forward in face of whatever challenges are brought our way. We're going to look this morning at a passage in the book of 2 Peter. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there. You know, last words are always considered sort of special. In fact, someone's final words, last words, sometimes are elevated to almost the place of something sacred. The last word someone spoke to you before they pass on. And we don't know what the actual last words that Peter spoke on earth were, but what we do have in 2 Peter are his last recorded words for us. And in that book of 2 Peter, he concludes that, so therefore the last recorded words Peter shares with us are found in chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Those last words, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This concludes the book of 2 Peter, which he wrote to encourage the believers of that early church that were being challenged in a very important way. The book of 1 Peter, he dealt with primarily with the issue of living on our faith in a world that was hostile to Christianity, to faith in Christ, from which persecution was beginning to come and to grow in that early church, and telling him, encouraging him how to deal with that. In 2 Peter, he deals with a different issue, a wholly different front for the battle, but equally important. In 2 Peter, he's dealing with the intrusion into the church of those who began to teach falsely about who Christ is. These false teachers, pushing their own agenda, were trying to co-opt the message of Christ and use it for self-promotion, use it for a place to gain a foothold for their own agendas. And Peter recognizes that it's a dangerous thing for people to come in and to distort the message of Christ. And so he wants to challenge those, challenge the people to remember who God is and remember the truth that they've been taught and to stand against these false teachers and to be warned about them. And as he does that, he is encouraging these folks to continue to move forward. You'll notice in that last verse of chapter 3 that I just read, it talks about growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That word knowledge appears a number of places in the book and several times in the passage that we're going to examine in a few moments. For Peter understood that in order to live right, we had to think right. That our knowledge had to be true knowledge. Knowledge of God at a deep level of our being, but correct knowledge about God and true experiential knowledge of God as we walk with Him. And so you see the theme of knowledge repeated throughout this book. And into that, Peter begins by giving a word of encouragement about moving forward. So I want you to read along with me back in chapter 1 of 2 Peter. I want to read the first 11 verses and then draw, hopefully, some insights into how we can go on in the face of all the challenges that we have to our faith. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, as we try to understand the words of encouragement that Peter has for us, I want to divide it into two points of view. The first one is this. Peter is encouraging us to remember who you are, for us to remember who we are in Christ. If you go down again in verse 9 of the passage we just read, notice what he says about those who are not progressing in their faith, who are not on the right path in their walk with Christ. He says, in verse 9, if anyone does not have these qualities growing in their lives, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Up in the verse, in the very beginning, in the salutation of this letter in verses 1 and 2, he talks about he's writing to those through the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. He calls us to remember where we came from, who we are in Christ, to not forget that we are those who are called out by God and have been forgiven in Him. For it is at this foundational element of our forgiveness in Christ that we must never, ever forget. Last night, once again, I was out running and listening to a different CD last night. And one of the lyrics of the song, it was a song by Chris Tomlin called Indescribable. And there's this line in it where it says, "You see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. You see the depths of my heart and you love me the same." Peter says those who have begun to get off the path of faith are those who have forgotten that they've been forgiven of their sins. That the God of the universe sees every bit of my heart, right to the bottom of it, and all of the junk that's there, and He loves me the same. So that foundational understanding and remembrance of who we are. And then he goes on to explain in even greater detail the glory of who we are in Christ. We are the ones who are forgiven. But notice in verse 3, literally it says, seeing His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Called by God's own glory and goodness. The word glory speaks of the full radiant beauty and wonder and the totality of who God is. His glory as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and through who He is and that glorious being, He has called us to something special. And through it says, New International Version says goodness. This word is a word that means virtue or moral excellence. It has the idea of sort of a purity of being that issues forth in life-changing power. It's a strength of character, if you will, that comes from the purity and wonder of the heart of God. And out of the glory of who He is and out of the virtue of His heart, God has reached down and called us into relationship with Himself and has given us, Peter says, every single thing we need for life and godliness. Now, there's a whole lot of teaching that goes on about Christian living, and a lot of it tries to get us to find the key to the victorious Christian life. What's the key to living a productive life? And sometimes we're told we need this experience, or that little piece of this or that. And somehow we're left thinking that I'm missing something in life and in my walk with God. I got to go out and find this piece that's missing. And Peter says, that's not true of you at all. Who you are as one called and forgiven Christ by Christ is one in whom God has placed every single thing you need for life and for godliness. None of us lacks anything that we need to be and to live the person that God created us to be. Flowing from this, he says there are these wonderful, great, and precious promises. Promises that are recorded for us in God's Word of His unending and unconditional love for us, of His incredible work of Christ on our behalf, of our being drawn into His family, of the sure future that we have because we are united with Him, King Jesus, and all that's going to unfold in God's plan. All of these wonderful, precious promises have been given to us to meditate on, to learn from, to draw strength from. And out of that, we participate, he says, in the very divine nature. This is who we are. The word participate or partakers of is the word, we get our word fellowship. We have a fellowship with the divine nature, with the living God Himself, Christ who lives in us. And that personal, deep, incredible fellowship, partaking of the very nature of God Himself. This is who we are. As Peter describes this for us, forgiven, given everything we need for life and godliness, partakers of the divine nature, having all the resources of the very presence of God Himself in our lives. And out of that, then, he says, we escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. The power that dominated our lives, our own flesh, and the sinful world in which we lived, and all of its allurements and enticements, the power of that has been broken. And because of Christ's presence in our life and the resources of His being in us and the fact that His wonderful saving grace has transformed us and is transforming us, we are stand as those in whom the power of sin has been broken. And Peter reminds us, this is who you are. You are forgiven. You have everything you need for life and godliness. You partake in the very divine nature. And the power of sin has been broken in your life. This is who you are. I think he's saying these things to encourage them in contrast to the false teachers that he will describe later in this book. For one of their characteristics is while they proclaim that they have the truth, while they say that they are the ones with the inside knowledge and the rest and the right message, and are trying to gather those who would follow him, their life betrays their message because they are driven by selfish personal agendas, often themselves falling into all kinds of corruption, not through the reigning, vibrant life of Christ living in them, but through the pursuit of their own agendas. While proclaiming one thing, holding the truth, their lives betray that. And when he says to us, remember who you are in Christ, that power of sin has been broken in your life, and you are free. That's who we are. Remember who you are. But Peter doesn't leave it at that point. He goes on in the verses that follows and invites us to participate in the process. And so the first thing, while we are to remember who we are, he then encourages us to become who we are. Become all that God has saved us to be. Notice how he expresses that. In verse 5, for this very reason, because of all of this of who you are and what God has given you in Christ, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith these things. And he talks about the sequence. The first thing we notice is that God honors us by entrusting to us a role in our relationship with Him. Yes, our relationship with God is one of grace. We're totally dependent on Him. But we are not little puppets in God's hands. This relationship with God is a real relationship, and He invites us to participate in that relationship. He honors the integrity of who we are as human beings created in His image by inviting us to participate in this relationship at a real and important level. So we are not just simply to lay back and sit on our pews and just, and I have nothing to do, God's going to reach down and do everything. Yes, it's by God's grace. Yes, the resources are His, but He asks me to join in the process. Diligence, a strong word, every effort to add to your faith these things. Now notice this process that we are invited to engage in. It is a process of growth. He begins with, in this list, by saying, add to your faith. So ground one is faith. That's the starting point. By faith, we enter into that personal relationship with Christ. It is our point of saying we believe that God is who He says He is, that Christ is who He says He is. And that by faith, I can enter into that personal relationship forgiven by God, to trust Him that His ways are right and His path is right. So the foundational steps of a walk with Christ is one of faith. But to that faith, he says, add goodness. And this word goodness is the same word that's used a few verses before, that word for moral excellence or virtue, the same word that's used of God. Now we are encouraged to add that to our faith. Moral excellence, virtue, a goodness that issues forth from the very character of Christ being formed in us as He lives in and through us. So that which is true of Christ and His character becomes true of us. So as we trust Him and walk with Him, what flows out of us is the very life of Christ and the power of a virtuous and righteous life. But adding to that, he says, and adding to this goodness, knowledge. Once again, we have that word introduced into the formula, to the progress that we have in our spiritual lives. Add to that knowledge. You know, now I've been at this whole stuff for a long time now. I'm old enough to be an old guy. And I've been a believer for over 30 years. And I've been in the ministry almost that long. You'd think I'd have figured this stuff out by now, wouldn't you? 30 years of it. Here I am. I've been walking with the Lord for 30 years. I've gone to Bible school. I've gone to seminary. I sit each Tuesday morning with a wonderful staff of people from this church, and we study the Bible together. And you'd think we'd have all figured it out by now, except for one small thing. God is unfigure-outable. He is greater than we ever imagined. And what God invites us to is to engage with Him in an ever-increasing exploration of the wonder of who He is. To find out the wonders of God Himself, both in terms of our actual mental knowledge and our experiential knowledge as we walk by faith. And so we add to our faith and to this moral virtue that's been produced by Christ's life, knowledge. We never give up the process of trying to discover and learn more of God. Yes, once again, it's God's grace that opens our hearts and minds. It is in His Word that we find Him. It is His Spirit that teaches us. But we engage in this process with a lifelong pursuit of the knowledge of God. And out of this knowledge, add to that self-control. The ability, through the power of the Spirit, to choose the right thing. To control the passions that would rule my life if they were left to their own devices, apart from the gracious work of God. To choose to be able to do the right thing at the right place under the power of the Holy Spirit. And as Christ becomes more and more aware to us, our knowledge increases of Him. We're able better to trust Him and to make the right decisions of life, to control those passions of life through the power of the Holy Spirit that would lead us astray if not for His presence. So we add to that knowledge self-control. And then on top of that, perseverance. Because, see, it's a lifelong thing. Because God is unimaginably immense and wonderful and majestic, and because our destiny is one that is wrapped up in the very eternity of God Himself, we are invited to not give up, but to keep going. As we trust God and see Him producing that character in and through us, and our knowledge of Him grows, and we're able more and more to choose to focus on Christ and order our lives that way, we persevere. We learn to trust God in the hard things of life and to keep going. We persevere. And perseverance, it says, leads to godliness. People have struggled to come up with a good definition of godliness. Obviously, it means in some sense a reflection of God's character. When we use the word about other people, we often say so-and-so was a godly person. And you know what we usually mean by that? When we're in their presence, we sense God's there. And I think that's what he's talking about here. The more we walk with Christ and trust him for these things to happen, God's presence in our own lives begins to be manifested and people begin to see that. And after the godliness, the next step, brotherly kindness. It issues forth in behavior toward others in which we're able to, in all kindness, love and serve each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, to extend ourselves and to give ourselves in service for each other, which leads then to the capstone of this progression that he offers to us, love itself. Agape love, sacrificial giving of all that I am for the glory of God and to the needs of others. And so here we are, this beautiful picture of this process of growth that Peter asks us and encourages us to engage in, that we might grow. But there's more to it than that. He says this will begin to produce some things in you if you do it. Our development leads to a productive and fruitful life. Notice the words that follow in verse 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure. Notice what he does not say. If you possess these qualities perfectly. He doesn't say that. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, in other words, if it is part of your life to continually be growing in your knowledge of Christ and the perfecting of your life through Christ's gracious work in you, if these things are ever increasing in your life, it goes on to say they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. Now, when I hear those words, it will keep me from being ineffective and unproductive, my mind immediately races toward the things that I do for God. I'll be more effective preacher. I'll be more effective this or productive in that. More people will come. You know, my mind immediately rushes to the do part of Christian life. But notice how the sentence goes. It doesn't stop there. He doesn't say that you will be effective and it will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive, period, or in your work. It will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter's whole emphasis here is not on performance, but on relationship. Not on performance, but on relationship. You see, performance in the Christian life flows out of that relationship. So as we are growing, what happens is this wonderful, wonderful cycle. And notice the cyclical nature of this process. Knowledge of Christ leads to growing in Christ. But as we grow in Christ, our knowledge of Christ increases. So if Christ's character is being formed in us and this progression is happening and we're growing closer and closer to the Lord and our lives are being transformed by His grace, where it leads us is to a deeper knowledge of God. But it is precisely that deeper knowledge of God that leads us deeper on this process of spiritual growth. So there's this wonderful cycle of ever-deepening relationship with God, producing ever-deepening changes in who I am. And so we have this incredible, incredible cycle of growth that God draws us into. But more than that, this growth then gives us a deeper assurance of our relationship with Him and our security in Him. Notice in verse 10, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Peter is not saying here, if you do all these things, then that's going to get you into heaven or get you into God's eternal kingdom. No, what he's saying is simply this. As you observe God working in your life and transforming you and taking you into deeper and deeper relationship with Himself, and this whole cycle, He changes you, which takes you into a deeper relationship with Him, which changes you more at a deeper level of your being, which brings you closer to God. When you start seeing that happen, there is a surety in your heart and mind that you are indeed one of God's children, one of the called. And by walking in faith with Him and His ever-deepening relationship with Him, we are given a deeper and deeper assurance that we are indeed one of those who have been called by Him. That we are part of His chosen people. And more than that, it gives us a great sense of anticipation of our entry into God's eternal kingdom. Seeing the now as the preparation for the future. I have confidence in my future because of God's active presence in my life now. And so as God works in me, I have this growing confidence and anticipation and joyful expectancy at where God is taking me and where all this is going to end. And I know that's going to be a rich welcome for me into His eternal kingdom. Man, that sets you free. So when we're walking day by day in the midst of this, the difficulties of life, we sense God's ever-changing, ever-working, gracious presence in our lives, taking us deeper and deeper into relationship with Him. It gives us confidence that we are His people and an assurance of where He's taken us. And so we are set free to joyously anticipate even the tough stuff of now, seeing God preparing us for that eternal glory with Him. This is Peter's encouragement to us as we seek to follow Him. Well, what does this mean? Well, it means we've been given an incredible gift. Eternal life, and all that that entails is a relationship with God. And because it's a real relationship, though, we have a role to play. We have responsibilities to cultivate our relationship with Him. This past Monday night, after I got done with my laborious run, what I was doing was meeting with some guys that I've been meeting with for a while. And we're starting to read David Roper's book on the book of James called Growing Slowly Wise. And we were discussing some of the issues that were raised in that book that pertained to chapter 1 of James. And in chapter 1, of course, James down toward the end has that verse that many of us are familiar with, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And one of our points of discussion that it raised was simply this. Here we are, we're the Bible Church. We're Peninsula Bible Church. And we teach the Bible. And I've never been anywhere where more people studied the Bible. And we learn the Bible. But if that's true, why are so many people struggling? Why are marriages falling apart? Why aren't people struggling with their walk of faith? And we began to ponder on that. And one of the things we came up with is while we somehow, most of us find time to study the Bible, we don't have a lot of time to really connect and with that. To have the quiet places in our life to let the Bible sort of get inside of us. To meditate and think and let the Spirit of God speak to us deep in our hearts. We have very little time to take the time to have the kind of relationships with other people in the body of Christ who can also help us wrestle through what this means for my life day by day and what it means to have a walk of faith with Christ. And so many times in our busyness of our lives in Silicon Valley, we're just studying the Bible, but we never had time to let it soak deep within our soul and really connect with God. And kind of the question that we left ourselves when we get together again, we meet every other week and we get together in a couple of weeks, was simply this. What in our lives would have to change if we were ever going to really connect with God at this level and not just study the Bible, but let it transform us? To have the time to listen to the voice of God and sit down with other people who want to listen to the voice of God and share that experience with each other. Peter encourages us to pursue the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that word knowledge is not a word that simply means intellectual facts. It means deep personal experience of God. And if we're going to be men and women who are not constantly frustrated by the things of life, who get stagnated in our spiritual lives, but truly are able to connect and go forward, we have to be men and women who will hear the voice of God, who will connect to God at that deep level that Peter is encouraging, and embrace the wonderful promises that have come to us because of who we are in Christ. To engage as Christ has invited us into that vibrant, real relationship with Him. Now, Carol Lynn, who's our community life pastor, temporary high school pastor, and a few other things we always tack onto Carol's job description, came up with a little kind of formula for people to think about that I wanted to share with you this morning. She said, all of us need someone to learn from, someone to learn with, and someone to pass it on to. And I've thought about that a lot as I've meditated on this and the way we order our lives. I wonder how many of us can say that. Someone to learn from. We do need to get to grow in our understanding of the Scriptures. We need to have those people that will impart to us truth that we need to hear and help us to understand the Scriptures. But we also need someone to learn with. Who are our partners in the faith that we're walking alongside with? That we are listening for the voice of God in each other and encouraging each other and challenging each other. Who are those people? And then we need someone to pass it on to. As Peter now is passing on this truth to those that would follow him, we too have been given the task. Who are the people we're pouring into? What a wonderful testimony from Paul Dow here earlier. He's out there right now imparting to some little ones in our church what God's put in his life. He's just passing it on. So I ask all of us to consider, as we engage at this ever-deepening level of walk with Christ that He's invited us to have, who are we learning from? Who are you learning with? Who are you passing it on to? So I believe that we could be a community of faith that engages with the Word of God at that level. We would see transformation. And we would see growth. And this progress that goes from faith to sacrificial love and everything in between on Peter's list of our spiritual growth would begin to shine forth in our lives. And Christ would be manifest. What a wonderful thing He offers us. What a wonderful thing He invites us into. With Peter, I close with the same words that we started with that He gives to us. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for the truth of this word. Thank You for Peter's life and how You grew him up from a fisherman to a leader of the church. Thank You for how You formed him and how You were forming us as Your people. God, we need the time in our lives to hear Your voice. Help us to do that. You've given us this wonderful, wonderful opportunity to know the living God in ever-increasing ways. Teach us how to do that. And we pray for Your Spirit to now take Your Word and put it deep within our soul as we seek to glorify You. In Jesus' name, amen.